That's the question I've asked him. Somebody bewitched him. Somebody cast a spell upon him. Listen, Amplify used the word senseless and thoughtless and unreflective. That is, the people cast away their reasoning. Do you understand my point? And put themselves under another person's influence. Let me tell you something about Christianity. I thank God for the job he has given me. If you see our broadcast, it will be on again tonight, 10 p.m., NTA, Channel 8, Enugu. Alright? The way it starts is like this. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding equals insight, equals stability. The idea is simple. What I'm bringing out is that God expects us to think. Don't make it look like it's against faith to think. Charles Finney, why his ministry was so successful was because he was the first person around him then that is wood, as I read of, all right, that was widely known at his time in the United States of America, that actually demanded that men should think. Preachers before him made statements that were absolutely, let me use the word, incongruous. Say 1 + 1 = 15. Praise God. So how did you arrive at that? Just take it, my brother. It's the word of God. Say God knows a big count. Because if it's actually accepted, I should throw all my books of mathematics. So, because they used to say things like, you were born a sinner, you can't help but sin. And they say, you cannot be saved except you have been elected to be saved. Your name has been written down that you are salvageable, you are salvable. Which was the correct word? You can't be saved anyway. So Charles Finney said that, wait, when I was being born, it wasn't my fault. They were given to me as a sinner. Alright? Okay, fine. So I can't help but sinning. Said, no, you can't. And I cannot even be saved if I wanted to be saved. Said, no. And God will now send me to hell for all the things that are not my fault. Something's wrong with that God. Charles Finney said, no. And the man was training to be a lawyer. So he was used to thinking. Now what are you talking about? One, it's not my fault that I'm a sinner. Two, even if I want to stop sinning, there's no guarantee. Three, I will not be punished for all these things that are not my fault. And you say that God is just, all of you are not alright. So that was the gospel he went around preaching. Telling people, say, my friends, number one, do you know why you're a sinner? Say, why? Because you like to sin. It's your fault. It's nobody's fault. Number two, if you want to be saved, there's salvation. Come, let's pray for you. Now, if you reject the salvation, at least now we have seen why God will punish you. That was what this guy went around preaching, and God anointed his ministry heavily. I'm bringing out something. Unreflective. Why does I like my job? Because God has given me an assignment to help people understand. Now, I was telling, okay, we were in my house the other day. Some people came to visit us on Sunday. And we're talking about curses and all of that. Something they were showing a movie on TV. And somebody was doing something. I said, is that possible? I said, yes, it's possible. It's very, very possible. And I will explain the spiritual principle behind it. One of the things I said is that I said, you can't just be walking on the road. You know no one man from anywhere. You just say, you, I hereby curse you. You know go better for you. Listen, I said, he can't. I'm not saying he's kind or he's not kind or he's not powerful. He just can't. They call it local standing. He's a meddlesome interloper. That's what the lawyers call him. I mean, you have many things that is not your business. What gave you the right to put a spell upon me? I have not offended you. And nobody that I offended has come before your presence to use the power of agreement to bring forth judgment against me. If you're walking on the road, somebody just said, no, go better for you. I say, you decrease for head and count it. That is, don't say, I cast you. You know the way, so, these fearful Christians. Back to sender. No, I reject it. What kind of rejection is that? The thing was rejected before it was born. So, I don't need all of this. I reject you. I just continue my way like, I'll just tell somebody beside me and say, look, I think that guy is not alright. And really, I will mean it. I don't think he's alright. Let me tell you something. One of the things Satan tries to do, that's why you need understanding to have stability. Satan wants to scare people. It drives you to go and pray by force. That prayer is a prayer of fear. Look, listen. One day, a man was going on the road. True story. You know this funny prophet? He just looked at the man's car. Blood. I see blood. The man, he didn't know he was talking to a man of God. The man came and said, come. He called him, come here. You. It's your blood that I am seeing on my car. You want to
to scare me to come and say, prophet, what do I do? What shall I do? Even prophet, if you don't carry your stupid garment out of here, you will be in trouble. You will soon see your own blood here. That's a man of understanding. That's why they confuse you. I'm not using the word unreflective. Listen, we are supposed to reason. It's just that we have to use the light of the word of God for our reasoning. Are you getting my point? The word of God is true. Let us go in. The word of God is true. Is that okay? Yes, the word of God is true. And listen, what I mean by it's true is that when you want to reason, you are doing accounts. You do 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. Do you understand my point? Alright, if you bought for 500 naira, you sold for 600 naira, and you had the expense of 50 naira, you can easily calculate your profit is 50 naira. It's simple. In the same manner, there are laws. That's the law of arithmetic. There are laws of the spirit, which you first learn, and then you use it to reason. And that's why I said I like my job, because one of the things I'm doing is to teach people how to reason like God. I'm talking about the word bewitch. What those who bewitch people do is to make them unreflective. They say that it is the way God thinks. You don't have to question it. I was arguing with a woman. We're discussing, actually, not really arguing. I wrote in one of my books, using to illustrate this thing. He said, I was trying to explain something to him, and this was an ordained reverend gentleman. He said that God made Judas betray Jesus Christ. I said, not really. Judas was a thief. He was a worker of iniquity. I said, you present yourself to God as one type of instrument. That Judas made his choices, which made him an instrument of unrighteousness. And God took advantage of his choices and used him to betray Christ Jesus. I said, that's it. That's why he was deserving of judgment. He said, no, you can't question the ways of God. God is sovereign. He can do as he likes. I said, my brother, sovereignty and lawlessness are not the same thing. There is sovereignty. There is lawlessness. That one you are talking about is lawlessness. It's not sovereignty. I said, God in his sovereignty sets certain laws. We're not there at the beginning. The laws were written, and we have discovered the laws that you cannot punish a man for what was not his fault, what was not his doing. He was sitting down and said, you betray Christ Jesus, then you had better suffer for him too. I said, what happened? The man was deserving of judgment. Go and read it in the scriptures. Any man who God used for a job that's deserving of death, listen to this. I say this clearly, categorically, without equivocation. Any man that God uses to do a job deserving of death was deserving of death before he did it. He was. The Bible says that what God did was to endure with much patience the vessels of wrath. That is, this man was deserving of death. God said, don't kill him yet. We have a job for people like him. Do you understand the point? Do you follow the point I'm making? Look, Christians must learn to reason, so that you won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'm coming to about bewitching. You know that's what I'm talking about. That those who bewitch want to be unreflective. You won't think. Meanwhile, God has an order for people to reason. So they said that, what did that man do? I said, stop asking why could that happen. I said, ask him who bewitched him. This is my personal opinion. I won't mention names publicly. I said, I think I know who bewitched him. I said, I think I know the person. And he's very good at that. And this is interesting. Some of these things are painful to say, but I think I should say it. There are men who pastors hire to come and raise money. And it's their job, that is, they will do whatever they need to do. Cook up all kinds of doctrines. You must drop that money. You know them. You yourself, you can name one or two. Because they are very common these days. It's painful, but we have to just say it. One man came and said, you have to sow a seed for 3 generations. The sin of your father. That's your own sin, number one. Then that of your father. Than the one of your grandfather. It is that kind of seed you get deliverance from all the effects of their iniquity. Faith doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work. It works. Stupid works like that. That works. What is the sin? How do you sow a seed? One brother said he went home, he looked around. The only thing he saw was his television. So he carried it for the seed of the first generation. Then you go back home and say, second generation, second generation, second generation. Carry your mattress for shoulder, second generation. Third generation. Third generation. Look at shoes, you gather them, third generation. One day I was there, I went for that program. It was a special program organized somewhere in town. I just let me go and see whether this man has changed. And he was there talking. And I shook my head. I said, this is not the gospel of Christ Jesus. It's a lie that you need to sow a seed for the sins of previous generations. If any man be in Christ, a new creature. My ancestors are Jesus Christ and God the Father. And people like Abraham. I don't want to clear away their works. I like their faith. And it's blessing me. Are you getting my point? You know how I remove the sin of previous generations? It's called faith in Christ Jesus. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. I enter into Christ Jesus. Number one, the day I give my life to Christ. Number two, every day that I discover something in my life that's not in keeping with what God says it should be, I change my attitude, I change my thought pattern, I change the way I order my life as I abandon the sins of previous generations. And I abandon their curses like that. There's something I said on radio yesterday, I don't know many of you heard it. I said, anybody who offers you deliverance without talking about your sin is lying to you. Because if you don't walk in the ways that they walked, you will not be exposed to the sin, so to the curses that's upon them. As a matter of fact, Israel was telling me today, we were just talking, he said, that series I did on marriage, that the CDs, the thing the people like to buy it, put two CDs side by side, righteousness, pursuit of holiness as an example, you know, those kind of ones, who get them for holiness when there's marriage to be talked about? Then you put 20 CDs like this. Marriage, shoop, is gone. Pursuit of holiness, if they sell to Zeph, you bless the Lord for the holiness in the land. Now, what I'm bringing out is that he said that, but Pastor, those things, that the things inside, they are very necessary. He said, because of the thought patterns that people have, that these things need to overturn, that we need to overturn those things. Do you understand my point? What am I saying? If you are reasoning like the people, that's why you expose yourself to their sins, to their curses. You are following what I mean? It's not, you cannot give a computer for a generation. The man that day was preaching, he said, by the time you are sacrificing a cow against me, I will let you know I've already sacrificed a Mercedes Benz. I said, you see, this is ignorance talking. Because you have understood that sacrifices is not just about value in money. It's about blood that's being shed. A man who sacrificed a fowl, that they sell for 2,000 naira, okay, has done more spiritually than you. If you like sacrifice a skyscraper, that one doesn't have blood, it's brick and mortar, an iron rod. I said, you see, it's ignorant people that will be carried away by that. That the size of your seed decides the size of protection God gives you. I said, what's wrong with you? The reason was because they hired you to come and raise money. In fact, they were going to discuss it, my friend and I, who was a pastor in the denomination. We're making a joke. I have gone to preach for him before. After one day I finished laboring, 5 days of teaching, 5 sessions of teaching. When they gave me honorarium, they gave me 5,000. And I'm not complaining. I didn't come here to complain to you. I want to tell you something. My wife laughed. He said, Pastor Man, 1,000 naira per session. I told her, be careful. You know, she just made a joke about it. They told me that the man who came to preach those following doctrines, they gave him 1 million naira. Now, I'm not angry with that. In fact, one day somebody's going to dash me 10 million naira. So what's the big deal? 1 million naira, I mean, it's not big money as far as I'm concerned. Nothing fantastic. But I now made a joke to my friend. I said, 1 million. Meanwhile, we sweat for you. Sweat. For days, at the end of the day, Pastor, so thank you for coming. Can't even pay for my fuel effectively. You know what he said? He's where I'm going to. He said, no problem now. Next time you come, raise the money for me. I said, God forbid, I won't do that. I said, I love my wife. I don't want to make her a widow. And I love your wife too. Please, don't make the girl a widow. Aram nonsense. Listen to me, if you really believe it's anointing that man is using, the man that taught holiness and the man that taught money, two of them should get the same honorarium from your hands. If you really believe it is the work of what they are doing. You are mercenary now. That's your problem. Come here. Because some of them, I'm sorry to say this, but it's painful, but it's a fact. You should know it. body of Christ, will do all kinds of stupid things. You give them a cut of the raise. No, some people, they tell you ahead of time, they are taking 15%. They come to your church, shout all kinds of shout. By the time they are leaving, they calculate out almost all the offering. They said their own is 15%. And they go around bragging. That's the one that irritates me. My God is not a poor God. Last year, my total income was $7.5 million. There's no time I leave this country, I don't get $50,000. You don't tell us what you do. You don't tell us that anytime you go, all you go is, hey, bring money. This is your passport. You know, nobody calls you to come and defy the people. They only call you to come and collect their money. Aren't nonsense. Talking about bewitching. That was the man and short people like him that bewitched the other man that made him collect 20-something million naira from his office. It's called bewitching. Cast him under a spell. How do you cast somebody under a spell? Let me tell you the truth. As a preacher, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Because that everybody has gathered like this and they are listening to only you, they are already vulnerable. It's not everybody that has the ability to reflect even while you are speaking. That is why you have, it's your responsibility for the children. Now, notice the word children, children of God that are there, that you don't use your words, sweet talk, to bewitch them to start disobeying God. Because if you decide to do that, many will disobey God, listen to me, and their sins will be on your head as a preacher. How do you bewitch people? It's sweet talk. What did I say? It's with sweet talk. That's the summary of it. Sweet and persistent talking. Especially appealing to the people's flesh. Last week, one man obeyed this word that I'm teaching you. And in 3 days, a man that had nothing before became a billionaire. Hallelujah. 3 days ago, another man obeyed it. In 1 hour, his breakthrough came. You keep on telling the story, and I don't like those stories. I particularly don't like them because, you see, even sometimes they appear like facts. Of course, that's why the widow of Zarephath becomes the commonest example. She gave one offering, and her life was not the same again. I said, Pastor, it's a lie. It's not true. Apostle, that's what the yearly be. Apostle is not true. She did not give one offering. Who's lying to you? Go and ask yourself, what was Elijah doing at her door? If all that was necessary was one offering, how did Elijah get to her door? You don't remember that there were certain things he had done that made Elijah leave the brook to head for her door. Before you start giving one offering, first go and ask the widow of Zarephath, Madam, what were the things you did before that day? Do you follow what I'm saying? When you understand that, then you will know how to give the one offering that breaks the camel's back. Because that's actually what happens. You have been putting straw on the back of the camel, then finally one day you dropped one, and it broke the camel's back, like the Englishman would say. Do you understand the point I'm making? Talking about bewitching, how do you bewitch people? It's with sweet talk. Then you appeal to his fleshly nature. And you talk and talk and talk. Listen, the only defense is about being reflective. And let me tell you, go and get that series. Profiting from God's word. Let me tell you the best way to obey things like that. Don't do it on one day. If they preach that kind of gospel to you today, do you understand my point? If you don't want to regret your life, don't obey that day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. Don't obey that day. People say, you have to quickly obey. I said, Pastor, wait. I have to think. The Bible says that those who did not have depth were the ones that sprang up quickly. They received it with joy, and there was no deepness of earth. And when persecution came by reason of the word, they withered away. I don't want to wither. Let me go and think. Before I give you my children's school fees, my house rent money. No, listen. When I finish thinking about it, there are people who think, and they still do those things. Now, do you get my God? Oh God, you will get to a point in life you will actually give out the most precious things you have, and God will bless you. I'm not trying to say that those things are not supposed to be done, but don't let anybody carry away with sweet talk. That's what I'm saying. Look, you know, you were reading that book,
John Alexander Dowie, the story of his life. He was a mighty man of God who was blessed. Towards the end of his days, things were rough for different reasons. And then one day, of course, they had to remove him from ruling over the empire he began because he had run everywhere bankrupt because of his lack of understanding of management and administration and not having good discipline in financial matters. So one day he was alone, and one man came to visit him. And he didn't have any money, not even for his basic necessities. And the man who came to visit him, listen, and I like to tell this story so that you will understand that I know both sides of the story. That man, he was paying his mortgage. The money he had, the pay was due. The mortgage for the month was due. All the money he had was meant for that payment. But he got there, and this man of God was flat broke. This is a man who had blessed multitudes. Oh God, go and read the story of John Alexander Dowie. This guy had blessed multitudes, healed the sick, raised the dead, preached against iniquity in the land. Here he was, he didn't have a dime. This guy looked at the money he had. Inside him was struggling. I looked at the man of God who needed something. I've told you, stop giving stupidly and selfishly. Give out of love. He looked, and he loved the man. And he looked. I told you, one of the cures for fear is, if I perish, I perish. He thought it better. He said, well, maybe I will still get money to pay my mortgage. Or, well, if I lose the house, I lose the house. I'm adding my words to it now. But I can't live with this man in this particular situation. So he took all the money he had, and he gave to that man. And the man took it and said, now listen to these words. He said, my God shall supply all your needs. Have you ever noticed that Paul didn't say, may God bless you? He didn't say, may God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, supply all your needs. He said, no. He didn't say that. He said, my God. My God. That is, there is a blessing upon my ministry. There is a blessing upon the anointing that I carry. You have participated in it. He said, my God shall supply all your needs. The following, a few days later, that guy's wealthy uncle paid for the whole house without knowing what transpired between the man and the man of God. The young man who gave the man the money, he had a wealthy uncle who maybe had been thinking, what do I do for this my nephew? He paid for the house complete because the man said, my God. You know, you see, if you are a thief of a preacher, you will use that story, twist it wrongly, and say, who wants to have a house by tomorrow? Once you start telling the story, the anointing has departed from it. The Holy Spirit is not going to do anything because the motivation is wrong. What happened was that the man, listen, he looked at this man of God and he said, no, I have to bless this guy. There was a day I thought of one man. My wife knows what I'm talking about. This man has blessed and blessed people. He has blessed, in fact, now that I'm talking about it, maybe it's been a while. We have to do something again. He has blessed and blessed people. And he was never one to preach the kind of gospel we preach. I'm not saying the gospel is bad, but you know, maybe people around where he ministered, maybe they are not, cut a long story short, he's not really poor, really. You know, he worked for government till he retired about last year. But I never saw, in modern day, I've not seen one body as anointed as him. I have not. It was after my father died, I realized that this man has blessed my family since I was a young boy in secondary school. I told my wife, what have I ever done for him? I said, till he dies, I must never forget him. Listen. The first day I sent him my offering, he called me, I was embarrassed. Man is over 60. I mean, he said he retired from government service. Not as if he got tired, he retired. You know, you get some kind of people who bless you. Even you know you are blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, they get some kind of people. Not the man who is just feeling tough. You just know people. The man just... I mean, and the guy blessed me on the phone in my mind. Ah, my own done better. Ah, my own done better. Oh, you know the song. I knew. But what was the motivation? No, I just considered and reflected. Look, Listen, I want Christian, when you want to do things, oh God, do it reflectively. Do you follow my point? That's why Paul wrote, he said, I will be around, you know, much later. You guys, a whole week, gather as you have prospered towards this relief of the saints in Jerusalem. Go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. He discussed that in detail. You see that people were supposed to reflect. I'm not saying it's always wrong, but I'm always very suspicious of a man who this man is offering right there and then. I say, you. Especially when he's the one collecting the money. I'm not saying I never give, but I'm always very suspicious. I go, look. But you should say you know what you need to do so. No, really. The word is reflection. I want something that by the time I finish doing, I will consider in 1 year, why did I do that? And I won't feel stupid. Even if it turned out wrongly. You know, there are things that I've advised my wife to do, alright, business-wise and all of that, and in quote, turned out badly. And neither she nor me feel bad about it, because the principles upon which they were based has not changed. They were not based on profit. I have two things in mind. Both times, they were based upon blessing the people who asked for those investments. Both times. One, things didn't just turn out so well. Second one, the fellow turned out to be extremely dishonest. I said, but the principle is still correct. You come back tomorrow, it will still be done again. I don't want to do things that later I'm not saying, like I said in that TV broadcast, you watched that, it was here I preached it. A man finished giving offering. He said, if you give this offering, you'll see the glory of God. After some time, I went and asked, please, what really does it mean to see the glory of God? I said, you're an idiot. You should have asked before you gave the offering for the glory of God. They said, if you do this, you'll see the glory of God. You have not even asked yourself, what's the glory? The person was being what? Bewitched. That's the point I'm coming to. A spell. And that's why Paul was saying here, who cast a spell upon you? Those who talk sweet. Listen, let me tell you the truth. I pray one prayer regularly. I'm saying it so that you will pray too if God puts in my kind of situation. Because listen to me, I talk to multitudes. Before it was only on radio. Now TV has joined. I know for sure the broadcast is blessing multitudes. You've left whatever you have to do this afternoon to come and hear me talk. If I told you I was not going to be around today, I know you won't show up. So it's me you came to hear. No, let's tell ourselves the truth. Now, why are we fooling ourselves? The truth. You have a church you go to. This is not your church. I know. So I pray a prayer regularly. God, please, let me never speak because of what I will get. Because I'm angry with somebody. I want to pay the person back because I have a power he doesn't have. You know the way Father Mbaka used to do it. You tell your pulpit to Chimaroke attacking a launching pad. It's not godly. This one pulpit, that's one weapon you have, he does not have. I mean, I go on radio, you don't go on radio. Nobody, people are not listening to you with the fear of God. They are listening to me with the fear of God. So I go and use my opportunity, you know, or I go and use to market my wife's products. One day I thought about it, not to do it, but I just said, you can't do it. You see, secrets and truths. Pastor's suit today was provided by, and you give the phone number. If I do it, my wife will sell. But God forbid, I'm not going to do it. Better close the business if that's the one you are waiting for to use to sell. Listen, if you want to do it, let's not use this business you are doing. Go and do super story. But if it is preaching you want to preach, please, oh. You draw the line sharply. Pastor's tie and wristwatch and perfume was supplied by. If you give me shirt, tie, I'm not going to put it on TV that you're the one that supplied it. At all. When we go to Super Story, we will do that one. But for the preaching of the gospel, no, I'm serious. These are prayers I pray. I'm not saying I'm a holy and righteous man. No. It's a prayer. It's prayer. Father God, please. You know, my wife and I say something all the time. Then we see people do things. I say, God, first, one, let's be sure. I hope I don't do that. Because you really won't know, you know, what you really are like It's difficult. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. Uh-huh. I mean, their suits, my wife said, it looks nice on you. I don't agree until... I just said, okay, let me just believe her, shall, but... Once when I saw it on video, once I started doing video, ah, I said, Israel, see you. This pastor is looking very nice. What I'm trying to say is that you really don't know what you really are like. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So when I see somebody do something, first I say, ah, Banky, wait, confess. You sure say, you not be like that? When we don't reflect, I say, I don't think so. Then I pray that we not be like that. Those are the two steps. First, are we sure we're not like that right now? They will now pray that God may we not become like that, because certain people there is pressure that push them into that place. That's what I'm telling you about Christian warfare. Real warfare is not fighting Satan, no. Real warfare is to ensure that your faith doesn't fail because of the pressures of life. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you all. Actually, if you know the Greek, I heard that from Derek Prince. He desired to sift you all you my apostles and my disciples. Desire to sift you all like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. Not just because of you, so that when you have been converted, you will strengthen all of them, that their own faith also might not fail. What am I saying? The pressures of life are designed to make your faith fail. Some of these people who misbehave, it's faith that failed. You believe God for 5 years. Time to begin to go to school. Money no day. You change the gospel. Praise God. I came today with a special anointing. If you would just give me this amount of money as a man of God. Why is the guy preaching it? Because he too, what is it? He does not, he wants better things now. It's faith that failed. No, believe me, it's faith that failed. It's faith that failed. That's why I'm teaching Christian warfare. Stop chasing against your enemy. You don't know the real thing Satan is fighting. If you're not here on Saturday, we'll discuss it. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There is something that the thief is coming for. Therefore, you have a safe in your house. You put your jewelry, your foreign currency, if you keep things like that at home, inside it. Or like somebody says, you go and put it inside the toilet, cover it so that the thief comes, you go to say something else there inside. You know, going to say that your gold there inside the toilet bowl. Because you know that's what he's coming for. Is that not so? Uh-huh. So if you don't know what Satan is coming for, you'll be boxing as one boxing the air. You don't know the guy is coming for your faith. You have preached that, I will never beg anybody for money on radio. Pastor Frank said very soon, you will soon start owing Cosmo FM. And you know, God will look and say, Satan, go try now, try. My time is going. I don't want to go into some other things. God will not look at Satan and say, go ahead and try. My servant Banky, let's see whether he will change his mind. But God knows what I'm going to do. Before I change my mouth, I will shut down the broadcast. So about God, well, it's been 6 months. We have not been able to pay Cosmo. I have prayed, you know, you're a witness. It's your throne I come to pray. I don't pray anywhere else, so you must have been recording it. Either you have not sent the money or it has not been delivered. Until the money is delivered, we shall not preach again. She is not my gospel. And I'm telling you the truth. All the fervor I used to preach on Cosmo, those of you who come here, you are in trouble. I will preach to you, you will be so sanctified and transformed. The anointing that's supposed to bless multitude, only you. No, let me just close my message. There have been days I've gone to places to preach like that. There was a place I went once, I said, these people have not eaten the word for a long time. I told my wife, I'm angry. When I reached there that day, when they gave the microphone, oh, let us welcome man of God, Pastor Bank here. Yeah, thank you very much. Everybody sit down, open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 1. That is, they didn't breathe for the next 1 hour. And I finished. My wife knew what I was doing. I said, don't worry, I've not heard sound words for a long time. I coined the microphone. That is, there was no breathing space. As long as I've been reading that one, I closed the Bible. I didn't have the time, the patience to be opening any pages. I quoted everything off head. Listen to me, child of God. This is what the word of God says. The Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. Listen, this, look, I went 1 hour. I finished. I said, very good for them. The microphone will come out. If I shut down Cosmo, you are all in trouble. Every day you are coming out, borrow extra ears. Because 2 messages for 3 messages for the day.
the two cosmos for the week and the usual Saturday, all in one message. Praise the Lord is good. What am I trying to say? It's pressure. There are these people who don't do some of those things. And that's a prayer you pray for yourself, I'm telling you. Say, God, I hope I'm not like that. And please, help me not to be like that. And if it's your friend, God, deliver him from being like that. I'm serious. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Please, let me just end with this. And let me close now. The defense to being bewitched is being reflective. And please, don't try and live an impulsive life. I'm so happy for all of you who are here on Tuesdays, you are here on Saturdays, you read not only Pastor Banky's books, you read other books, especially when you're a young person, when the pressures of life is not worrying you too much. Even if it is worrying you, you constantly feed on the word of God. Listen, the other day I looked at my little boy. I told my wife, he looks like a refugee. I said, this boy is too lean. That's my smallest boy. Actually, for that time, for a while, he was a bit not feeling very well, and he was refusing food. Anyway, cut it long story short, one day, you know, kids, it's a year and about 5 months or so, all right, 5-6 months, and they quickly lose or gain weight. So the guy, he was just walking one day. I see his two sticks that he called legs. I don't look this boy. I told my wife, this boy looks like a refugee. Before they catch him and show him on CNN as the problems in Nigeria. My wife said, no problem. She said, I know what to do. After about 2-3 weeks, yesterday I looked at him, I was this morning. I said, look at his cheeks. They're already out. He's been delivered from his refugee status. Why? Because simply, his mother insisted he ate again late at night before he slept. And if he wakes up during the night, food just appears, transmogrifies and appears. And the guy will chop it and go back to sleep. And he began to gain weight. What am I saying? That's how spiritual things are also. As long as you constantly feed, what we want is that you're looking very lean, very, very lean, like a refugee. They say, tomorrow they are doing auditioning for a movie in which the person is supposed to be fat. They start chopping. You want to become fat overnight. That is the problem we have as Christians. Do you understand my point? If we constantly feed, constantly, all the time, do you follow what I mean? Not only when we're under pressure. Talk about that giving thing also. You don't give when you're under pressure. You give all the time. It is part of your life. Do you get my point? So if somebody now comes to problem with emergency breakthrough, you tell him, look, oh boy, I broke through long ago. Let me tell you this story, please. My time is gone. Oh, God, let me just tell you a small one. My friend Larry said that he went somewhere to preach. They said, you should preach on breakthrough. He said, how many of you have keys here? They all put up their hands. You lock your door when you are leaving the house. Yes. How many of you break the door when you get back home? What do? You bring out your key, you open it. Okay, peradventure you lose your key. Will you break the door? They say yes. He said, indeed, those of you who are looking for breakthrough, you have lost the keys of life. That's what you are trying to break through. Now listen, you don't need to break through. You need the right keys of life. Operate by them consistently and you'll be able to enter every door when it is necessary. Do you get my point? That is the solution, though. To being bewitched, you are reflective constantly. You feed with the word of God. Now, please, I hope you've gotten my point.